TNA recap. This is the last one with Scott D'Amore, so it might feel a little bit different the next show moving forward.
I heard that the creative team now has got, who was it? Some guy named Artie Evans. I don't know who that is. Darius.
The Archibald Peck and Chikara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Tommy Dreamer. Gail Kim and somebody else is supposedly having input, but those three are the main bookers right now that D'Amore's gone. Delirious did okay in ROH.
Yeah. Hey, you never know. We'll just wait and see. But, you know, we can start by saying, you know, we haven't been that great to that nice to Scott D'Amore. Just because, I mean, I don't like the product that he's put out. So, you know, it's hit or miss. I mean, but when you bring in Will Ospreay, yeah, I'm not going to let you take, like, credit for that. Like, oh, man, that was awesome. Okay, so you booked him?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, then it's like, and you let him work.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Didn't impose any ridiculous.
Yeah, you're
crazy. Didn't impose any ridiculous shit on him because, I mean, without Josh Alexander, you have, if he's part of the promotion, you have to have him either look extremely good or go over, which they let him go over.
Yeah. Anyway, so when I got to thinking, I'm like, well, okay, put me with that job. Put you with that job, whoever. With the, you hear limited roster. They're not going to really throw much more money at it. So take the roster that they have. And I was thinking, well, what could I do different? Now, I would do a few things different, like, you know, we'll get into. But really, you would probably have to run several rematches unless you're going to bring in local talent, you know, wherever you're taping, or, you know, rotate, you know, AAA talent or whoever else they work with. I don't really see how it would look too much different. I totally get the rematches, but I mean, there's a few things. So let's just get into it. I'll kind of say, I had a problem with the very first match. Frankie Kazarian beating Jake something. Jake something, when the X Division was still a thing a month ago, he went over five other guys. He was the winner. Now, his next match, and I don't care about, you know, the cheating, the ropes, pulling tights, whatever, or getting in more offense. He still lost to Frankie Kazarian. This makes no sense to me. You can't have him beat on a few more luchadors if you're just waiting for, you know, waiting for the Ollie Saban stuff to play out or whatever the hell you're doing. This immediately was stupid to me. This was bad. I wouldn't do this.
No.
And then you have...
What enhances the stupidity is Eric Young has shown
cuckolding
backstage watching the match.
Yes. Cuckolding. Watching the match.
They could have easily had him come out there and do a run-in, and that would have saved Jake something from, like you said, from being looking like, okay, I beat all these guys, and then Kazarian beats me.
Yeah, I can throw around guys half my size, but I can't throw around guys twice my age. Makes no sense, right?
And the best part, it was a roll-up pin.
Why not?
Sure. I mean, I thought they were telegraphing an attack from Eric Young, but it's like, nope. He just got a weak-ass promo.
But, listen, next week, Eric Young's going to come out face-to-face. Confrontation.
Full warning. With a full warning, can't even, you know, build up the heat.
Well, I mean, he's...
He surprise attacked you. Why couldn't you do the same? But no, let's not do that.
That curtain is awfully heavy. You know, it takes time. Next up, Jordynne Grace defeated Savannah Evans, non-title. Now, I thought she fired her people. Now they said, they're getting a second chance? Come on.
Yeah, they couldn't think of something else.
Probably didn't have enough people. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Of course, after the match, this very TNA-esque, Shaw beats up Grace, gets the heat. I mean, but if everyone does it, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't have done this either. You don't need to every match. If it's one, no. Again, we talked about it. If this is once a show, it's fine. But again, this happens throughout the show, as we'll go through.
Yeah, it would have made sense to, and first off, carrying that fucking X Division thing around like a Money in the Bank briefcase looks stupid. Don't do that. You won, just leave it backstage. Pick something else and she should have just waffled Savannah Evans. That's it. Like, you're fired. This was your last chance. You're fired. You know, you know she's going up against Grace. You don't need to hit both of them.
Very true.
It's ridiculous.
Backstage we go. Ash by Elegance, and I guess she's got a mouthpiece, right? I guess. Is that?
Yeah, she kind of has to.
Is he going to get in there and wrestle for her too? Because I'm guessing this isn't going to be good. Whenever it happens.
It's built nothing.
Yeah.
It's like a diva, a photo shoot model coming to wrestle. Minus anybody knowing her from WWE, that's what you get.
What about that dress, though?
It's a dress.
Exactly. They were trying to get over the dress quite hard there.
Yeah. That's what I watch wrestling for, is fashion tips.
Here we go again, this Alan Angels show. What's this called? Can you remember what it's called?
I was waiting for them to say the name, but they didn't say it.
No, it pops up. It's just, who cares? It's like a graphic pops up, but I forget. Soundcheck.
Soundcheck.
I just looked it up. That's, yeah. So, there he is, right?
Don't worry, fans. Go on the internet and find out what happened.
And then they talk about how Gotch and Josh Alexander, they wrestled like 5 years ago or something? Is that what was that? What it was?
Or a while ago, yeah.
2015 or 5 years ago, and Alexander won, and Gotch has been distraught for almost a decade? Is that what I got from this?
Looks that way. It pissed him off so bad he grew his villain mustache back.
And then, lo and behold, I guess Josh Alexander was listening through the door like a jealous girlfriend or something. So here he is.
It's not broadcast live.
No. So then Angels looks like a chump. He just gets thrown to the ground. You don't see him again, I think. He just gets pushed down. What? I don't know. It was better than just the job. Gotch, his segment was better than the Josh Alexander talking one. But it still wasn't.
It was
awesome. It wouldn't blow away or nothing.
Well, it was a good promo. It just should have taken place 5 years ago or whenever. You know, it would have made sense then. Now, waiting so long, it's kind of, cold meat.
Are you saying this Scott D'Amore creative isn't good? Is that what you're telling me?
That's kind of what been the whole point this whole time. It's old. It's just, I think he's been there too long. He needed to go. Or he needed to do something else. I don't care if he stayed with the company. That's fine. He's been there and he's put the work in and all that shit. But creatively, he's just, it's the same old thing. And that's not his fault. There's only so much you can do with wrestling. But you can be a little more creative than this.
Next match, very good match. We expect it to be a good match. But
yes. The
only thing that hurts it is you expected the outcome also. And that does hurt it.
Right. We knew that going into anytime they have a best out of three, I've never seen it where they squashed them two matches in a row.
ABC defeats.
I knew it was coming and just kind of forewent that whole whatever. But it was a good match. It was an interesting match. It was put together well.
So, yes, ABC ties up the best of three series with the grizzled young veterans. It's just expected. Now, the next match should be the best one. We'll see.
They had the promo from, I can't remember the guy's name. The guy with the weird name, Oleg, whatever.
His tag team partner. Oh my gosh. What did you think about this? A lot of inside baseball. Dirty Dango, it Oleg Pruderus? Pruderus?
Where's the Panda Energy car? I thought that was kind of
yeah.
Funny. But
talking about Scott Norton.
That is actually a good. Yeah, he's talking about Scott Norton. I'm like, okay. It could be. This could be what could freshen the thing up if they're going to get tag teams from across the country. This is where they start injecting a little blood. Maybe find somebody that can say, well, maybe we can expand the budget to hire these two guys. But because I'm sure that when they pay them. Here's your standard pay for one night's work or whatever for one event, and send them on their way. But if they get somebody who's pretty exciting or, you know, the crowd really gets into, this may be a way of freshening up their talent pool a little too.
I will say I didn't hate it. I didn't mind it.
This is me making lemonade, I know, but.
Right. So do you like the Mustafa Ali thing? I think it's already getting a little bit stale already. I mean, kind of.
It's reflecting what's been going on in real life for the past 8 years. So yeah, it's going to start out. If it was current, it would make sense.
Yeah, but again, it's old hat.
They're about 4 or 5 years past the freshness date.
This led to the little jobbers in the back with a bunch of randos. Chris Sabin comes in, and I don't know if he was talking about the show or he was talking about the Federation, but he said it sucked, or this is shit, or something, and I agreed. I think hit a guy, or he shoved a guy.
Get pissed weird. And punch the one guy in the throat. It's like, get out of here.
Kind of an odd segment. It was fine, though.
Yeah. And then the one you've been waiting for.
Yeah, something like that. Digital media champion, Crazy Steve. And he's got crazy small tights to wrestle in. I know that. He defeats Rhino. This was some slop in this, I would say.
I think it was meant to be.
Oh, okay. Well,
the announcer said this, that it was a standard match, and then right a second after he says that, Rhino pulls a table out from under the ring.
Oh, yeah, and then they said, and then they tried to cover it up, like, oh, digital media championships, they're not normally hardcore matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it says no rules or something like that. It's like, well, apparently it's ECW rules because you can beat the shit out of them all through the stadium, but you have to pin him in the ring.
Crazy Steve, living up to his moniker, pulls a spork out of his boot. the ref, you know, immediately like a squirrel to a shiny object, goes and gets it.
Yeah.
Rhino standing there dumbfounded this whole time. Not even selling being hurt. He's standing there watching all this go down. Steven grabs the title, socks Rhino in the head, and even the ref was slow to even get to this, but it does get the pin. Get rid of this title now. Just retire it. Crazy Steven, you know, right off in the sunset with that title. This sucks.
Yeah, this was nothing. This was a nothing match. I didn't care. It kind of irritates me whenever it's this blatant. Rhino would never fall for this shit from this guy. You know, he's been around too long. He should have expected this stuff. But they all act like their brains fall out just for the convenience of the plot.
ECW veteran wouldn't see a title shot coming?
He wouldn't see somebody, you know, especially if he knows Crazy Steve does that kind of crap. They should play on the fact that their character's a bit more. It's like, oh, I'm not that stupid. I'm not that gullible. I've been here a while. But now they just throw it out for convenience of what they want to, the point they want to get across so they can make a match.
Well, you're telling me you don't really agree with this creative. Is that what you're trying to get? Okay.
Not at all.
Joe Hendry versus, I guess, resident jobber Cody Deaner.
Wait. You're completely skipping the PCO promo.
Okay, what, him grunting? What did he even... What was he even doing?
I could barely understand him. Well, there you have it, folks. I think he made his point.
Yeah, and make Kamala look like an Ivy League graduate, right?
It's a total derp spot.
Well, I hate to say it, but that might have been enough to give him the Wrestler of the Week for me. But we'll see who you got. I guess they were saying he was moaning Khan.
Yeah, something like that. But it's just that didn't come across very well.
It was
if you knew what had happened before this, you'd be able to guess it. But if this is your first show again, you're not telling them anything.
We don't have any intro music for this podcast. Should it just be that?
Yeah, really.
Vet promo.
The big moaning. That probably would be the best promo for the show.
Anyway, Deaner didn't even get an entrance.
No.
It's getting worse and worse for this guy. Hendry comes out, but before Hendry and Deaner could get it down, music video hits from Top Dollar. Is it AJ Francis? I think he's AJ Francis here. That's it. I don't know. But
yeah,
he raps about how he's got a lot of money, whatever. And I think the guy, I mean, he maybe played professional football or something, right? So he might actually have some money. I don't know. But anyway. So
that's why I don't know his history.
I know that's Moose's backstory. That's got to be the only reason Moose stays here, right? Because he's so fucking independently wealthy. Because, I mean, otherwise he should have left years ago. But that's for a couple minutes from now.
Out of the business, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so I think the funniest part was when Hendry's like, oh, yeah, that didn't feel good. And, you know, he kind of played it off. And then he said, you know, he's got a backup video. This isn't as good as the Cheez-It champion thing, but it's set to AJ Styles old music.
Yep.
Which was funny.
He's got the sock gloves on.
Yeah. So that was funny. Another, he's good. Good. I don't mind Hendry. I mean,
no.
Because you know,
for creative stuff, the videos they do for him are creative and they're kind of funny.
And that might be him doing it for all we know. I mean,
it might be.
So, but yeah, so this, I don't believe this ever got started, right? Because he gets attacked.
Deaner came out and attacked him while he was talking to Francis, and then he came in and gave him a weak ass choke slam.
And then Rich Swann.
And then Rich Swann comes out and runs him off, kind of. It's like, you just beat up a guy about the same size as Rich Swann. Why are you leaving?
Well, you're right. That's weird, Rich Swann. I mean, because that Top Dollar dude, he seems like he's all of 6'5", 6'6", right? He seems kind of big.
Big guy.
But, you know, I mean, Rich growled at him or something, you know?
That's another thing too. In his little promo after the video thing, he said he was a shooter. He comes from a line of shooters or something like that. Like, brother, are you gonna use that line in this business? Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean,
you're big. There's plenty of people half your size could take you apart.
It that better be about guns, and not actual fighting. Anyway, now okay. Here's another thing. The Nick Nemeth, he needs to be on these shows if he can be. He's the only one that's really a bona fide star, or feels like right. it to me. They show him at I don't remember the name of the show, you know, the indie or whatever. The indie looked better than this.
It was in Puerto Rico.
Oh, so that's probably not an indie. That's probably their main thing.
The WCC or
whatever. Oh, okay. Is that the Carlos Colon or whatever? Or the
Colon one, yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I thought it was an indie.
She's doing a show down there in Macklin, Rainier.
Yeah, okay. Because I was like, this looks way better than what we're seeing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'd be funny. Which, go to the local Smoky Bingo Hall. It looks way better. No, but I didn't realize that part of it. Just because I'm desperately trying to not watch what I'm watching. So Macklin's a stalker. He knew he was going down there.
Apparently. Caught his itinerary for backstage somehow.
Well, good thing Nemeth didn't like get in a bathroom stall or anything down there, because nothing good happens. Anyway, go to the backstage with those guys giggling about what they did. Trent Seven and Speedball, they come up, and Trent challenges Steven for next week. That's fine, I guess.
I'll have to see, because I've never seen, besides the run-in last week, saving Speedball, I don't know what Trent Seven can do. So I'll be interested to see what he can do.
It's been so many years since he was wrestling in Britain and coming over to do spot shows. So it's been a number of years. I think he may have did like NXT UK or something. I don't know. Maybe not. I might be talking out of line. I don't know. Danny Luna defeated Killer Kelly. Do you care?
Nah. They did put a little twist on the ending with her partner trying to assist her in the, you know, off the ring, on the ring apron, and ended up tossing her the match because they screwed it up.
How'd she win? The roll-up?
But then Decay. Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, a roll-up followed by what?
Followed by the lights out, and Decay
a running.
Running them all out of the ring.
Yeah. I mean, stop me if you've heard this one.
The match was over. The match was over, technically, but they just ran them out of the ring. Because they were starting to do the post-match beatdown type shit.
Have you ever seen TNA do such things? Oh, yeah, you did. Every match. Sorry.
Yeah, every day, every show, practically. When you do it all the time, it's not special. That's part of the reason most wrestling isn't special, is because I remember that one. Hot shot it, do this, because it was great the last 50 times. No, it didn't. It worked great the first time. If you give it time to rest and not have it happen every friggin' week, then yeah, it becomes kind of surprising or shocking. Nope.
Main event, champion Moose, who does look like a champion to me. Now, maybe in other federations, he may be mid-card or upper mid-card, but definitely here he feels like champion. I know at one time he had, rumored offers from WWE and AEW, but he did re-sign here. But I don't know how smart that is, but again, we don't know his situation. Anyway, this show defeats Kushida. I actually like this match.
It was good. It was kind of short, but it was a decent match.
I thought so too. I'm like, they're giving this like the least amount of minutes, you know, except for like the women's match wasn't very long, but it wasn't a long time. I mean, Kazarian Jake something felt like a lot longer than this to me, but
yeah.
But anyway, Kushida just trying to work the arm of the bigger guy. He getting caught on occasion, stuff like that. Kushida's got a sweet haircut, if you can find it. Oh, it's great. But Moose gets a spear, and he should have looked dominant here. He should have. He gets the win, gets a spear, and then it's TNA. So what happens? Yeah, a run-in. And what's funny about...
Match beatdown, followed by a run-in.
What's funny about this is no one could be at ringside. I forgot to mention that. No one could be at ringside. Right. So they showed them watching on monitors in the back. Well, after the match hit, I think the system, they come down and they beat on Kushida for quite a while. I have no clue where Kushida's friends were watching this match at backstage. But really? It took them a long-ass time. A lot of slaps and some punches. And my goodness.
Watching on the phone from the parking lot.
It took them a long time to get out there, but they're still setting up, and literally like anything TNA, the feuds end up the same way. We got to run you off, and we're going to get you. Same deal. That's what I'm saying. It can't be worse without Damore for me. I mean, you know, it could be same, but I can't imagine it being worse.
If this is the extent of maybe, and... I don't know. Maybe he's been phoning it in because back when he was originally denied, being paid, I guess it was Braun Strowman he was trying to bring in or something, and they denied him, and he tried to quit then, apparently, from what I heard, but they convinced him to stay. And I think he knew the writing was on the wall, so, you know, anything that then I think he's just probably been phoning it in, knowing it was going to happen eventually.
If I was a TNA president, I would try to get them to bring in Braun Strowman on a crazy expensive deal, and then I'd quit, you know, to rib him, you know. Screw him over.
Pay him, I'll see you.
But so anything else interesting this week you've seen in the pro wrestling news?
But the only thing I saw was the supposed agreement that with AEW's working with CMLL, that apparently something in the contract says that they can't have any other Mexican federations, especially AAA, working on the shows too. Now, I don't know if that's, if you've got one show there on, the AAA guys can't be there, or if they can't partner up with them at all. Either way, it's kind of a slap in the face to like Ray Phoenix, Penta, and those guys.
Poor Sammy Guevara. His father, I think, may be Hispanic, and now he can't even be on the shows?
Is he from AAA too? Or?
No, I'm just kidding. I think any other Hispanic guy or something.
I don't think they're being racist. I think they're just being territorial. He doesn't work for us. Those guys don't work for us, and they work for a rival promotion, so you can't feature them.
Silver King. La Parca. Super Calo. No, but
La Parca should be exempt from all of that.
Right.
He's La Parca.
Jeff Cobb, who played a Hispanic guy in Lucha Underground, can he come in? We don't know.
Send him down to CMLL and have him blow their asses.
Anyway, this should be, if this is the case, I think it's easily avoidable because, Penta and Phoenix, who should be on every show they can, but they're not. Sometimes they don't show up for, you know, once every 2 months. So I think this would be, if he has to do that, it seems fairly avoidable. But I've heard, like, AAA is pretty scummy, like, just in general.
And that may be, but I just kind of figured, like I said, part of the reason they got attention in the first place was the Penta and Phoenix matches. People were wowed over them if they weren't, because the Bucks weren't doing a whole fucking lot. Kenny Omega was in the spotlight a lot, so was Adam Page, but the Bucks, for that being their promotion or whatever, they haven't put on as many matches as I would have thought they would have in the past couple of years.
It's weird, you know, it still feels like they haven't let the Bucks loose. Like the PWG or anything like that. Or, you know, even the indie. Mm-hmm. The indie Bucks, you know. Maybe a little more now with whatever they're doing. That's like we're presidents or whatever, you know, whatever the hell they're doing. It's what they're doing now is not bad. It's not bad. But and then white tuxedos with all the blood on it. That's actually a really good touch. Yeah. I like that. Speaking of that, well, and we can always talk about that. They win, right? The Bucks beat Sting and Darby to end it, or is it? See, here's my thing with Tony Khan, though. I mean, I could totally see him, because his booking's a little odd, you know. Even if you're on the way out, you get a big push, right? So maybe Sting just retires with the title. He didn't have to put anyone over. That'd be odd, right?
That would be odd.
Hopefully Sting wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah, I would hope he wouldn't realize that that's not the greatest thing to do.
But, yeah, so, I don't know. The other news is just, you know, The Rock being around and cutting Rock promos and kind of outshining Roman Reigns. And that's just sad when stars of 25 years ago can come and just totally outshine what you have now because you've been so piss poor with building stars.
Well, yeah, that you let them and that they can't actually do better than the current crop. They're embarrassing on two levels.
Yeah, they can't. I mean, and what? Who are the big stars? Would you say Rollins, who dresses like an absolute moron? Can't take him serious. I do like Drew McIntyre. He looks like a badass, and they don't push him as much as they should. I know he's up there in the card and everything, but
I think he's like a Piper. He's super valuable, and everybody likes him and likes seeing him. But I don't know that they'll ever get behind him to the point where he's a major star.
Except for that Roman, boring matches, all the same matches, very, very formula wrestler, so I don't really care.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I mean, Cody, formula wrestler, so, meh.
Yeah.
He'll put on decent stuff.
His legacy is his gimmick, basically.
Yeah, and, you know, when he comes out and he's lisping around and stuff like that, what you want to talk about, you know, or whatever it is.
Dress.
I don't care. You know what I mean? It's whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah. He can put together a decent enough match. And if there's someone better than him that can, you know, pull one out of him, that's usually the best way it works. But it ain't going to be Roman Reigns.
But yeah, Rock can just come do second grade humor. And it's
maybe
just,
The Rock.
You know, boom. He's already
more
of a star than any of you guys.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with the thing with Triple H and the fallout from Vince, because there's people that keep persisting about him and Stephanie had to have known something like this was going on. They didn't say anything.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, well, come on, man. It's family. You can't really. They're kind of rocking a hard place there. You know?
Pun intended.
Especially since at the time Vince was in control.
Fire him. Bring in D'Amore. You like formula?
Yeah.
Here's some formula.
Here you go. Generic, generic, generic.